Daniel chapter number 6. This is going to be a sermonette today. They say sermonettes are for Christianettes, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And I'd just like to speak to you for a few minutes from the subject, an excellent spirit. Now, the first assignment in this message today is I'd like to ask you what kind of a spirit you have. I don't have a spirometer here today. I've wanted some of those. I wish I had one for every thing in the church. Just pass them out and put them under your tongue and hot, cold, lukewarm, whatever. However, you know, I may have closer to one than you think. Right? You know, the Bible says that God's Word is a mirror. Have you ever had someone tell me that you had a black mark on your face that you didn't know you had? You'd been running around all day with it? That's not nearly as bad as someone walking up to you saying, you need to fix your nose. But the reason those things do happen sometimes is because we forget to look in the mirror. And doesn't the Bible say this is our mirror? But Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me. Now, I thank God for the preaching of the Word of God, but you know, there are some times I need to read it for myself. If you don't have a habit of reading your Bible, you really should. Because it's like looking in the mirror. How many looked in the mirror this morning? I can tell the rest of you didn't. The fact is, almost everybody's here today. Hopefully everybody here. What would life be like without a mirror? Well, that would be, you'd probably get to church on time. But your physical life without a mirror is like a spiritual life without this. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my pathway. And one of the things that you see, I'm asking you right now to decide what kind of a spirit you got. One time Jesus said to Peter, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. He said to his chief apostle, get behind me, Satan. So right then, Peter wasn't. He was yielding to the wrong spirit at that moment. He was actually trying to keep Jesus from going to the crucifixion. And Jesus had to say, you get behind me, Satan. You don't know what kind of spirit you're of. You are right now fighting against the salvation of the world because you don't know what's going on here. And so Daniel was of an excellent spirit. And I'd like to ask everybody here today, what kind of spirit controls you? Has anybody ever had a gripey spirit? Well, let me ask you this way. Has your spouse ever had a gripey spirit? Don't raise your hand and don't say a word. Now, what happened? What's going on in a person? What's the difference between an excellent spirit? The Bible doesn't say this about very many people. Have you ever seen a person that had a disgruntled spirit? Have you ever seen a person that had a critical spirit? I mean, every time they opened their mouth, something came out about something was wrong. Let me just stop right here and give you a piece of advice. Don't become an expert on everything that's wrong. You're going to live in a black, black world. I'll never forget a message Brother Hightower preached. You know, when you're raised in church all your life, you hear thousands of sermons, and most of them, you get a little something out of them, but you don't even know where you got it from, and you forget it ever was preached to you. But once in a while, there's a sermon preached that just sticks. You know what I mean? And Brother Hightower preached a sermon in this church, Paint My Sky Hope. And it stuck in my brain. Now, obviously, he was playing off of Paint My Sky Blue. But he suddenly switched from physical to spiritual in his sermon title, Paint My Sky Hope. And somebody says, if you're going to be happy in this life, you've got to learn how to, when you're dealt lemons, to make lemonade. And you know, some people can do that. I tell people all the time that you could put Mike in a padded cell and she'd have fun. But there's something about the spirit that controls us. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, let's see if we can understand why the Bible would describe him in such a way. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, it says, he that hath knowledge spareth words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. People who are confused and frustrated a lot of times don't have a good spirit. They have a critical spirit, a frustrated spirit, a complaining spirit, an upset spirit. Now, I think some people were born upset. And furthermore, I'm mad and I want everybody to know it. I've never said that. No, you slammed the door and you slammed your books down and you sat down in your chair and that. You're saying, I want you to know I am upset. Have you ever seen somebody say that? I am upset. Well, cheerio. Now, why am I talking about this? Because it's important enough to be in God's Word. Do you think that Daniel, with an excellent spirit, was a person that was a small person in his attitudes? When the Bible describes him as having an excellent spirit, what kind of spirit did he have? Do you think he frowned all the time? Do you think he was an underminer? Do you think he was a criticizer? How do you have an excellent spirit? Now, this Proverbs tells us that a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So, one reason a lot of people have a hard time having an excellent spirit is because they're so confused. Now, the Bible says if you have understanding, it will give you an excellent spirit. So how do you get understanding? The Bible says to get knowledge and with by getting, get understanding. One way to get understanding is to be teachable. Have you ever talked to somebody and they weren't listening? that might have had the experience. So, have you ever talked to your children and they weren't listening? Have you ever talked to your husband and he wasn't listening? I don't have to ask about the wives. I know the answer to that one. Now, what I'm saying is, I personally, if a child is not a numbskull, I would prefer to teach them why I want them to do certain things and get them, sit down here, let me explain to you. I love you. Don't be fighting me because I'm on your side. I love you. Let me give you a little understanding here. Now, young people, you need to get understanding. You can buck your parents and think they're weird and way out and old-fashioned, or else you can say, Mom and Dad, I don't understand. And then when they explain to you, listen to them. And since they were your age 30 or 40 years ago, they might even know what they're talking about. You never know. Give them a chance, at least. So, how do you get understanding? Well, one thing is if you study God's Word. It'll bring understanding into your life. Notice what it says here. He that hath knowledge speareth words. That means the person in the room who's talking the most isn't necessarily the smartest. Right? He that hath knowledge spareth his words. I saw a title of a book one day. I was just perusing books at a bookstore. And the name of this one book was Enter Talking. Now, there are different people with different personalities. I almost bought, Lori was my secretary at the time, I almost bought the book for Lori that day, because Lori's a talker, but that's just her personality. Lori is of an excellent spirit. But anyway, so what does this mean to you? Wouldn't you like to be of an excellent spirit? You know, there are some people you just like to be around. What is it about them? What is it about some people that they lift you up? Do you like to be around a person that you know is going to deflate your tires? You know what I mean? Do you ever leave someone's company and you feel like you got four flat tires? You guys have a clue of what I'm talking about. And you get around other people, and when you leave, you feel like, whoa, I feel good. Let's go do something. You leave other people, you say, I'm going home, going to bed, and put the cover over my head. It's a cruel world out there. When you were in Daniel's presence, you left feeling like you just had vegetable soup, not cotton candy. I'm just trying to find something you would understand here. Because if I can make you understand, you'll have an excellent spirit. The Bible says he that hath understanding has an excellent spirit. But Daniel was a person of excellent spirit. Nehemiah is an example. The Bible says that when he came into the presence of the king, he was sad and upset. Immediately the king noticed it. There are some folks, when they're upset, I don't pay them any mind. You know why? Because they're upset yesterday. And they're upset last week. And they're upset last month. And they're going to be upset next year. If I get my wagon to their star, I'm on my way to planet upset. I don't want to go there. So I just... How we doing, gentlemen? Is this sticking in? So, what I'm telling you is, Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was sort of like a ray of sunshine. When he walked in the room, everything got brighter. Have you ever seen a person when they walk in the room, they bring the sunshine out of the room? You ever seen something like that? What makes that happen? It's because that person carries a spirit that it permeates everything they do with them. Okay, I got to hurry because this has got to be a 7 minute. So let's see if we can figure out what makes this happen. As I was thinking about this, and I discovered 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you in more excellent way. Almighty, the Apostle Paul spent 12 chapters on, he spent one entire chapter, the 12th chapter, encouraging us to covet the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, faith, healing, all these things. And when it gets to the end of the chapter, he says, now covet earnestly the best gift. Now I'll tell you something better. I show unto you a more excellent way. And he goes into verse 1 of chapter 13. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels that have not charity, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, just taught a whole chapter on the spiritual gift. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I could even give my body to be burned for the name of Jesus. And if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now this is an excellent, we're speaking about an excellent spirit. I show unto you the excellent way, a more excellent way. And what is the excellent way? Well, charity suffereth long. Don't we love to preach about Daniel? Wasn't it great he prayed 3 times a day? Does anybody have a clue as to how long he did that? How long was Israel in captivity down to the Babylonians? 7 years. My wife knew the answer. Jeremiah prophesied there were going to be 70 years of captivity. You mean Daniel's been doing this going on 70 years? Actually, when he got thrown in the lion's den, there were 68 and a half years of that gone. So, having an excellent spirit is suffering long. Apparently, Daniel has stayed with it a long time, putting up with that Babylonian captivity. You say, well, I suffer long. I suffer. You don't know how I suffer. I suffer. That's not exactly what I mean. Not only do you suffer long, but charity is kind while it's suffering. That's the next thing. Charity is kind. If you want an excellent spirit, you got to know how to be long-suffering. You got to know how to be kind. And charity envieth not. Have you ever looked at what somebody else has? They get a new car and a twinge of jealousy goes through you because you couldn't afford one right then? Don't do that. That's not an excellent spirit because all things work together for the good of them of the Lord. When it's time for you to get that new car, God's going to have to get it. Well, the amen will wait. But anyway, it is here in the Bible, charity does not envy. Charity doesn't boast. Charity vaunteth not itself. Doesn't boast. That's what vaunteth means. Boast. Now, since you were having a hard time evaluating your spirit, I'm helping you, okay? So check yourself. Well, am I a boaster? I'll just leave that with you. Now, Daniel had a right to boast. Because he had been called into the presence of the king several times to interpret dreams. And he was the only guy on the planet that could do it. Now that's a pretty heady position to be in. I mean, with Nebuchadnezzar, nobody else could come up with the dream that he had forgotten. Daniel came up with the dream and the interpretation. And when they promised Daniel, we'll make you second ruler of the kingdom. We're going to give you a gold chain. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Daniel said, let thy gifts be unto thyself, O king. Or give them to another. because what I have and what I'm sharing with you is not mine. I got it from God. And so he always gave God the glory. We all need to do that, don't we? We always need to give God the glory. And Sharon is not tucked up. Now, these are the qualifications for an excellent spirit. Daniel fulfilled every one of them. He always gave the glory to God. And charity doth not behave itself unseemly. That means you don't act stupid. That means you don't go do something stupid, like ramming your fist through the wall because you're mad at your wife. Right? I can't figure that out because you know if you put a hole in that wall, you're going to have to fix it. It'd be much better just to not put the hole in the wall, isn't it? Brother and Sister Benioff, back in the early days of their marriage, before they got things together, they told us one day they got mad when they were first married. They were in the kitchen. It's the bad place to be when you get mad in the kitchen. Because there's a lot of things to throw in the kitchen. And one of them grabbed a plate and threw it on the floor. So the other one grabbed one and threw it on the floor. They emptied their entire cabinet. Crash! Crash! Was that an excellent spirit? Not hardly. Now that was better than knocking each other out. I'll give you that. That's better. It's better to break plates than to break jaws. But neither one's right here. Because you got to clean that mess up. You better get all that glass, because a week later you're going to be walking through there barefooted and you're going to get beat that glass in your toe and it was your stupid fault. So just don't do that. You don't need to know that. So, charity does not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked. Charity is not easily provoked. Doesn't get upset, doesn't get mad. Charity is not easily provoked. That's an excellent spirit. And charity thinketh no evil. Man, this is getting into brain control now. What you think about determines the spirit you have. You know, you sit and just start stewing. Have you ever walked in and somebody bit your head off and you went, you didn't have a thing to do with it, but you don't know what his wife said to him at home. And you just happened to be the first one in the door, and he didn't have the nerve to say it to her, so now you're it. And all this goes into an excellent spirit. All right, now, let me tell you, you can change your spirit. I want you to listen to me really close right now. All eyes right here, right on me. Everybody listen to me real close right now. Front row, second row, third row, listen to me real close right now. Now, if you don't have an excellent spirit, you can have. Let's say that you're a person that silences your parents a lot. Now, first of all, they shouldn't be letting you, but if they are, then that's their problem. But if you're silencing, that's your problem. Because if you don't get over that, it's going to color your whole life. The kind of girl you'd like to marry will not marry you because she'll find you out. Because if a guy doesn't treat his mom right, he won't treat you right after he marries you. Now, this is a free piece of advice, girls. If that guy disrespects his mother, He won't treat you right here. Same thing as you speak. Okay? Y'all taking notes on this? You don't need this one of these days. But one of these guys, one of these days, is going to pop the question. Oh, happy day. Anyway. So let's say that you've got a problem with your spirit. And I'm preaching to some people, you got some wrinkles, and some of you have wrinkles in your spirit. Probably should take some of us. Let's say you got a problem in your spirit. What do you do? How did Daniel get that off the spirit? Had an interesting experience yesterday. We went over with the kids. It's one of the few times I get to go since I didn't have a prophecy conference out of town over the weekend. We went over to watch the boys and girls from the school play ball in Indianapolis yesterday. And on one of the opposing teams, there's a young man I've been watching for quite a long time. And I'm sure he's got his balls like everybody else. But I've never seen the guy show that attitude. In all the pressure situations, I've seen guys around losing their tempers, doing stupid stuff. And this kid is he's a great player, too. He's one of the best. And I've watched his attitude. So finally, after the tournament yesterday, I decided I was going to go talk to his coach and find out who the kid was. So I went to his coach, and I said, "Who's that kid?" They told me, and they said, "There's his mother right over there." And so I happened to cross paths with his mother on the way outside the building, and I called her by name. I said, "I just want to tell you, I've been watching your son, and I just think he's a terrific kid. He's not really a kid, he's growing up, but, you know, when you're my age, everybody from 30 down is a kid. But I said, he's just a terrific kid. I've never seen a bad spirit out of him." She said, "Well, you know, Brother Baxter, I had a habit of going to the church and praying every day. And I didn't know this until a few weeks ago, but he told me a few weeks ago, 'You know, Mom, when I hear you get up, I would wake up. And when you left to go pray,' he said, 'I would pray at home.' And that went on for 2 years, and then he started going to the church with her every morning for prayer. And she said, 'I think that's probably what you sense, is that he's a praying boy.'" And it makes sense to me. He got his excellent spirit the same place Daniel got his. Daniel was a praying man. And you know, there's just something about, it's awful hard to rub shoulders with excellence without becoming excellent. You know, when you're around a person, I did something one time. I told a joke once. And I didn't even realize that it sort of cast off on a particular group of people. I was sort of oblivious to that. But there was a preacher in my home that night, and I was just trying to be personable and be hospitable, and I just told this joke. And he never cracked a smile. He looked at me and said, "I don't laugh at ethnic jokes." Well, I didn't see it. You know, there are bad ethnic jokes, and then there was my joke. And I didn't see it as a bad joke. Because at that particular time, I was not as sensitized to it as I should have been. Now, I could have gotten mad at that guy. But as soon as he rebuked me, he didn't really rebuke me, he just said, he just said, "I don't laugh at ethnic jokes." And I realized then that I was stepping there as I didn't need to go. Because, you know, if you offend somebody, you'll probably never win that person.
and we should never want to offend somebody. And that minister made me a better person, I think, because he just took his knife and just cut a little piece out of me. I've never put that piece back. And, you know, as we go through life, when you rub shoulders with excellent people, they'll pull you up with them if you let them. And, of course, you know what happens if you run with turkeys. Okay. David had an excellent spirit because he was a great worshiper. Daniel had an excellent spirit because he was a great player. Had a lot more I could say than this, David.